morning, TNC family, on this third Sunday in November, 4 days before Thanksgiving Thursday. I want to talk to you today from the scriptures about how to make Thursday great. About how, when the food is back in the fridge and when the TV is turned off and your body is back in bed at the end of Thursday, about how you'll be able to say, Thanksgiving 2022 was a very good day in history. A day of connection with family and friends. A day of enjoyment of food, football, parades, celebrations. A day of gratitude for health and life. And a day to give thanks to our divine creator. I love the words of Abraham Lincoln and his Thanksgiving proclamation on October 3, 1863, because he reminds us today that it's still a day grounded in and built up by an acknowledgement of the divine. Quote, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of such extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens." I love that. And also these words from the psalmist in Psalm 92, "It is good. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High, to declare the Lord's unfailing love in the morning and his faithfulness in the evening." And so, TNC, this Thursday can be a very good day, although it's not inevitable. And so let's talk now for a few minutes about how to make this Thursday great. And I want to offer 4 suggestions. So here we go. 4 ways to make Thursday great. Number 1, start on Wednesday night. Start Wednesday night, which includes, of course, paying attention to what you eat Wednesday evening, when you go to bed Wednesday night, what activities you do Wednesday during the day, because how you eat, sleep, and move on Wednesday will be linked to how you experience Thursday. But that's not what I want to talk to you about regarding Wednesday. I want to invite you to do something else Wednesday, specifically Wednesday in the evening. I want to ask us to all do something together. And I know we won't do it all at the same time or do it in the same way, and certainly not in the same house, kitchen, or bedroom. But before you go to bed Wednesday, will you read Psalm 90 and verse 12? Just that one verse. Psalm 90 is actually a psalm of Moses, and he's crying out to God after having a moment of great clarity about life and reality and hope and about the promise for the future. And he writes in verse 12 these words, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So sometime Wednesday evening, in a quiet moment before you go to bed, Psalm 90 and verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Or as the New Living Translation puts it, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life, so that we may grow in wisdom." And then, one assignment after you read it, reflect on what that means. And here's why. Because if you do, you may, Well, you may have a moment of sadness and even frustration with me. David, why are you having me consider my mortality the night before Thanksgiving? But after you get past that, then I think you can get to the heart of why Moses sings it, writes it, prays it, and calls us to do the same. Because what does that mean? Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, when you number something, you recognize that there is not an unlimited quantity of it. You have a finite supply. And when you have only a limited supply of something, you treat it differently. For example, and here's a really silly example, but it may help get at it. For me, when I buy a flat of Oreos, and gingerbread Oreos are about to be released in stores this season, when I buy a flat of Oreos and first open them, say while watching the Tar Heels play basketball, I will sort of mindlessly eat them as I'm watching because there is an uneatable supply at the beginning. But then, a couple days later, if I go to the cupboard, say while watching the Tar Heels play basketball, and I pull back the seal and see only like 3 Oreos left in there, then I will eat them differently. I will eat them more slowly, break apart the cookie from the filling, scrape off half the filling with my teeth, and savor it as I eat it. This principle is also why in the first quarter of a basketball game, in the first minutes, coaches let the clock run without thinking much about it. But in the fourth quarter, they pay super close attention to the clock, calling timeouts and huddling up and planning how they will execute the final minutes. Now, this is part of what Moses is getting at, because here, Moses is talking about a finite supply of time, a finite supply of days. And if you recognize that finite supply this Wednesday night, Moses says, you'll begin to treat Thursday differently. You'll begin to see, this is my one and only life. And when a day comes, like this Thursday, November 23, 2022, the day will not come again. And awareness of this on Wednesday ought to give us perspective and wisdom for Thursday. This is a general point, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that is made powerfully and memorably by Billy Crystal, the comedian and actor who starred on Saturday Night Live and in movies like The Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, City Slickers, and more. He's the voice of Mike Wazowski in the Monsters, Inc. franchise. And in 2006, he wrote a book called 700 Sundays. Some of you may remember it. It's a book about many things, including about his father, for whom the book gets its title, 700 Sundays, because he writes at one point, quote, "My father worked so hard for us all the time. He held down 2 jobs, including weekend nights. The only day we really had alone with him was Sunday. Sunday was our day for my 2 brothers and I to put on a show and make my parents laugh, or to go to the boardwalk in Long Beach and play skee ball, or go to the batting cages, go bowling, go to the movies, or even a Broadway show. And Sunday night was our night to eat together. We'd always go out for Italian food or Chinese food. Dad," he writes, "would come in like 3-4 o'clock on a Sunday morning after working all weekend. And just as the sun came up, I would tiptoe over to my parents' bedroom, which was right next to my room in the back, and I would quietly open the door just a little. And there they would be, Mom and Dad, lying there looking so quiet and peaceful together. And I would sit in the doorway, waiting for Dad to wake up, just to see what we were going to do together that day. I just couldn't wait for Sundays. And then Crystal writes that sentence again, back to back in the book. I couldn't wait for Sundays. But then Crystal writes, it's the very next sentence. He died suddenly when I was 15. I once calculated that I had roughly 700 Sundays with him. That's it. 700 Sundays. Not a lot of time for a kid to have with his dad. Finite time, TNC. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, Moses tells us. So, TNC, what do you have in your life that would be helpful for you to recognize as only coming in a limited quantity? And specifically, this Wednesday, as you go to bed, will you at least consider what that is and what that might mean for how you live Thursday? And I'm not trying to be morbid, I'm just trying to say that the first step in making Thursday great is to start on Wednesday night, to go to bed with the wisdom of the scriptures and a prayer. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Which leads to number two, the second way to have a great Thursday. Number two, wake up with a larger purpose. Charles Dickens might say, wake up with great expectations. And here I'm talking about something close to Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. In other words, I'm not talking just about waking up and going, well, I expect to eat some turkey and stuffing, some corn and pie with friends and family over football and maybe a fire in the fireplace. I'm talking about something deeper. I'm talking about a kind of fire in your heart. I mentioned last month that I finished a really great read, a book by David Gergen, former Navy officer, then White House advisor to four presidents of both parties, currently professor at Harvard University. His book is called Hearts Touched with Fire. And he starts the book talking about a man whose family was rich and well-connected. This man's father was a prominent physician, and his mother was a major abolitionist, and he was attending Harvard when President Lincoln issued the call for volunteer soldiers during the Civil War. After which, Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. dropped out of Harvard, signed up as a first lieutenant in the 20th Massachusetts, where over the next 2.5 years he was struck by bullets at Ball's Bluff, Antietam, and Chancellorsville, once shot in the chest and barely survived, once shot in the neck and left on the battlefield for dead. But he survived, came home, finished school, became one of the nation's most influential and eloquent jurists, named to the Supreme Court by Teddy Roosevelt, and throughout his life, he was often asked about dropping out of college to fight in the war. And one time, in a speech on Memorial Day in 1884, he described it this way, quote, "It is for all of us to learn at the outset, that life is a profound and passionate thing, and it is required of a person that they should share in the passion and actions of their time, at peril of being judged not to have lived." And then this line about his own experience and those like him, "Through our great fortune in our youth, our hearts were touched with fire." And I love that idea of at the outset of something, our hearts can be touched with fire. At the outset of a war, at the outset of a dream, at the outset of a project, at the outset of a day, at the outset of Thursday. And so, at the outset of Thursday, TNC, first thing, first thought, first move, your first orientation when you wake up Thursday, how about we all read together Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The wisdom of Jesus himself. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be given to you as well. And so you'll wake up Thursday and you will pray, God, today I will seek your kingdom. I'll look for it. I'll pursue it and join in your agenda. My heart is touched with a fire to seek and find your kingdom. This reminds me of two Saturday evenings ago, about 15 minutes before Brittany and I were headed out to join friends for some team trivia at a nearby restaurant. I went to get my car keys from the top of the dresser where I usually leave them, but they weren't there. Couldn't find my car keys. And so I started looking, sort of casually, because I had plenty of time. We were not ready to leave yet. So, like when I passed through the kitchen, I glanced at the kitchen counter, and when I went into my home office, I checked by the computer keyboard. But soon, I began to seek with more urgency. Finding the keys became my main project. So I went upstairs for the sole purpose of finding the keys. I checked the nightstand by my bed, the pant pockets of some jeans on the floor. I went back downstairs, looked in the car itself, on the floorboards, in the ignition, and soon I was seeking everywhere. Cupboards, clothes washer, couch cushions, kitchen drawers, and I started getting more urgent and more focused and animated because that's what you do when you want to go somewhere. When you want to get to a preferred destination, you make finding the keys your main project. And that's sort of a small example for how we are called to seek the kingdom of God. On Thursday, it needs to be our main project. And of course, you might now ask, okay, David, where should I look for it? Where should I look for the kingdom this Thursday? Answer, everywhere. You seek God in action everywhere this Thursday. That's how you're going to seek the kingdom of God in whatever hour and moment you are in. Driving to the destination, in the sunshine or the cool breeze, greeting family at the Thanksgiving table. When you consider gravity or food, laughter, hugs in fellow human beings made in God's image. Seek first. That's your main purpose and project Thursday. Because if you do, then everything else will be added to you. Now, if you don't want to seek it and know it, you don't have to. God is not going to jump down your throat and force kingdom living on you. But just know that you can find it and you can experience it if, as God says through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29 and verse 13, if with all your heart touched with fire, if with all your heart you really do seek me, you will find me. Which leads to number three, the third way to make the most out of Thursday. After you start on Wednesday with Psalm 90:12, you'll wake up on Thursday with Matthew 6:33 and a desire to seek the kingdom of God in your hearts. And now number three, the third way to make Thursday great. Number three, practice gratitude. And that's the key word, practice. Practice gratitude. Which leads me to Brené Brown, who probably does not need an introduction to most of you. She's a professor, author, podcast host, known especially for her research on shame and vulnerability and leadership. She's written several best-selling books, including a few years ago, a book called The Gifts of Imperfection, in which she says that the joyful, compassionate, connected life is not about an attitude of gratitude, a clever rhyme some preachers or teachers like to use. Hey, have an attitude of gratitude. Brown says, no, no, no. You have to practice gratitude. You have to cultivate it if you want to discover it and experience it. And what's the best way to practice it? Well, not by observation or sedate receiving, but rather by giving and moving. I mentioned a couple weeks ago the work of Robert Emmons. He's probably the leading research scholar on gratitude in our day. He teaches at the University of California, Davis. And chapter 5 of his book, Gratitude Works, is called, quote, "The Biggest Obstacle to Gratitude and Its Remedy." And here's what he says is the biggest obstacle to gratitude. One word, entitlement. I've earned it, I'm owed it, I deserve it, it's mine, it's Thursday, so I deserve a day off, I'm owed some thanks. Pass me the turkey, give me another slice, I'll tell you when I'm ready to leave. Emmons writes, quote, "If you're like me, you probably have a whole list of things you feel entitled to, and if you don't get them, you feel cheated, resentful, frustrated. Emotions," he says, "all rooted in entitlement." Instead, he says, here's the remedy, humility. Quote, "Humility is the antidote to entitlement and a lack of gratitude. If you want more gratitude, you'll have to practice," and there's that word, he uses it too. If you want more gratitude, you'll have to practice more humility. And then he lists in the book 20 humble practices, practices for daily life, things like the humble person serves, the entitled person sits. The humble person compliments, the entitled person complains. The humble person defaults to listening and learning, the entitled person defaults to talking and telling. So the key Thursday TNC is make it a day of practicing gratitude, of humble moving and serving, not entitled, watching and consuming. And finally, number 4, fourth way to make the most of Thursday, to make Thursday great. Number 4, this Thursday, depart in peace. And this is not leave with a piece of pie for later. This is depart in the P-E-A-C-E, the peace of Christ. And this is literally how we will want to say goodbye on Thursday. How you and I want to leave the people we are with in the places we go, how we want to end the phone conversations we have, and so on. Because it matters how we leave. Because you can leave in anxiety, or you can leave in peace. And we live in a world that's filled with anxiety, with worries about money, loneliness, long drive times to work, raising kids, and on. But Jesus says, you can live and move in peace, which is the main reason, I think, why that phrase, go in peace, is a phrase that the Bible uses a lot, over and over. I think, for example, of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Amen. Or Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or John 14 and verse 27, the words of Jesus himself, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And so TNC, this Thursday, make sure you depart in peace. Don't leave your conversations and your situations with judgment or anger or grudges or hurt feelings. Leave with hugs and thanks. Leave with the blessing of God's peace. And you'll find yourself then recognizing the gladness and the joy of the kingdom of God, where you feel connection and common humanity and joy and love, and you'll find yourself moving in step with the patterns of Jesus himself. So, Wednesday night, Psalm 90, let's number our days. Thursday morning, Matthew 6:33, let's wake up with intention and purpose. And then let's practice gratitude and let's depart in peace. Will you pray with me? God, I pray now for every person listening. And I pray that whatever comes this Thursday, a moment of laughter, a hug of love, the taste of pumpkin pie, or a moment of challenge, or impatience, or loneliness, or worry, or maybe even fear or sadness. I pray that whatever comes this Thursday, that we will live in an awareness that there is first a finite supply of Thanksgiving Thursdays. And because of that, God, that we'll have a wisdom that will put a fire in our hearts to seek you and experience your joy and your presence and your peace, a peace that passes understanding. And so now, TNC, I pray the prayer of Psalm 100 for your Thursday. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Come before him this Thursday with joyful songs. Enter God's presence Thursday with praise and thanksgiving. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.